It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Catholic Health. And by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All right. Waiting on Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. NHL season opens tonight, this afternoon actually. Former Sabres head coach Dan Bylsma leads the Seattle Kraken.
I forgot he was back in the league.
He is back.
After he was successful, what was the AHL team he was really good with? Coachella.
Yes.
The Coachella Firebirds, I think.
Yes, that's right.
The coolest team name in hockey.
It is pretty cool.
It doesn't get cooler than playing for the Coachella Firebirds, I would say.
I don't know if I've seen their jerseys.
They're probably pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to mess that up.
Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. We've talked a lot about the football team. And, I mean, the deadline, the trade deadline is, of course, October 31st. And right now feels like there's a week. This might be the week that Devontae Adams moves.
That's the thing. Like, the trade deadline's October 31st, but Adams deadline might be October 8th.
I am not
maybe today.
Of the opinion the Bills are likely to make this move. The Jets, I mean, everybody's lined up there. The Jets have the cap space to do it. And if they want to get it done, I said this, this doesn't have to be right, but wouldn't the Jets look at the Bills and say, we can get that team? We can get them this year. They've got a good defense. We've got a good defense. Their offense is more vulnerable than maybe it's ever been. And we never had problems with that offense anyway, for the most part. The Jets and the Bills, these games, especially in New York, aren't they categorized by the Jets really having success defensively? They picked Allen off three times in the opener last year. Allen has no picks this year.
Right.
Has he thrown his first one against the Jets? I mean, if I were to say to you as a Bills fan that's watched this team for the last 7 years, okay, everybody take a deep breath. Let's just move on to next week. Let's have a get-right game. The offense can get back on track. Oh, who's on the schedule? Oh, it's the Jets. Oof. That's gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the team you want to see here. But that said, if they were able to get off the mat and look like they put together a nice game plan, well, then that would be, they'd probably feel better than most.
I don't even know what, we'll get into this later in the week, what is the game plan going to be? What on earth do you think you're going to do that scares them?
I don't know. Run the ball.
I don't know.
Hopefully Shakir's back. Not just back, but Shakir being 100% will be important as well, because if he was limited against Baltimore after getting rolled up on the ankle and he wasn't the same, then, you know, an 80% Shakir is not quite 100% Shakir. We'll get back to that in a little bit. If you want to call us on the Bills, you can. You want to call us on the Sabres, you can as well. But right now we're going to meet with and chat with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on the Wester Hotline. Lindy, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, good to have you on again.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
How is it to be back?
It's good to be back, for sure. I mean, obviously, she's a long flight over and a long flight back, but it's good to be back home.
Is the travel back what takes the biggest effect, maybe? The jet lag coming back rather than going over?
You know, I think so. I think when you go over, you kind of wipe it clean. I mean, we went basically right to the rink, got a practice in, tried to stay awake. I think it almost takes a couple days to kind of, you know, get out of waking up at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. I know that yesterday was an optional day for our group, and the consensus was a lot of guys were up pretty early. So just trying to get back on track.
When you look back at the games, the trip itself, you know, was the challenge of being away that long and all the things that were maybe out of routine? I'd imagine you tried to keep things in routine as you could, but how challenging was it as a big undertaking?
You know what? I don't think it was that big a challenge. You know, your practice schedule, you know, kind of stays the same. Obviously, you're not in your building, but that part of putting together a plan for the week was, you know, fairly normal. I know you've got some outside stuff that's being done. You know, you look at it, you go back to game one, and probably the part I would like to see better was we had some some really good opportunities that we didn't capitalize on. And it just seemed to me like, some of our guys seemed a little bit nervous. The opportunities were there to finish the plays. And I thought, and I said this during the preseason, we did a good job with it. Our play away from the puck was strong. When you're under pressure and when you're in that spot, can you execute and make the big play? And I just felt we left too many big plays out there, from what could have been breakaways, what could have been finish on two-on-ones, three-on-twos, a couple four-on-twos where opportunities missed, that we didn't make them pay for their big mistakes. In game one, you look at a play that Dylan's cousin gets right down the middle off of misplay by them, and we didn't put it in the back of the net. So I think, we had a meeting yesterday. We talked about some of that. We talked about, again, just puck decisions in a tight game and where it's got to go. So, it's part of the process, and we got to keep building.
What about at the start of games, Lindy? That had been a theme that Sabre fans would remember from before you arrived. And then in game one, the first couple of goals there in the first period by New Jersey could have spooked some fans again. Didn't happen to the same degree in the scoreboard in game two, but I guess for you, like, the start of games and not getting behind, do you have a different strategy on that front? Is it just play your game? How do you approach that and not making that another, problem as the season goes on, the start of games?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if you looked at, if you broke down the start of game one, we had three really good opportunities to score that we didn't take advantage of. And their first opportunity was poor puck play, breaking out of the zone. So their first opportunity to score, they put it in the back of the net on a poor play by us. It falls on execution. And part of what I just talked about previously is those three opportunities, a couple of them were big mistakes they made and we didn't take advantage of. And all of a sudden we make a big mistake, they take advantage of it, and we're talking about a bad start. It could have been a good start for us if execution-wise you execute the play and you put it in the back of the net. You want to play a 200-foot game. I think that the biggest thing is we've talked to the team about since day one is, making the right play at the right time, at the right puck decision at the right time. And that is, trusting where people have to be.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff joining us as we chat Tuesdays at this time. The upcoming season starts Thursday, home for a pair of games, and then some much shorter trips than Prague. Lindy, one of the things this team has struggled with the last couple seasons has been the home record. And I wonder how much of a focus there is, if you can make a focus on that kind of thing, on taking advantage of things on home ice.
Yeah, the parity... the parity in this league and the fact you get to play at home, you're sleeping in your own bed, you get the rest you need, you basically have everything you want. In my eyes, I even start with the morning skate. You need a morning skate. And a lot of times I've found now in the past that the morning skate is just a little bit of something that can frustrate you because you're really not working on anything. You're going out there taking a few shots in the goaltender, you're maybe running through one drill, but it isn't something that you're running at 100% and probably just using up energy. So I've typically gone to now no morning skate or an optional skate, but you keep it limited so that you don't waste energy in the morning. And then the plan on home ice is, to stay on your toes. It's not a posture where you want to sit back. It's not a posture you got to be afraid of playing. You've got to play your game.
When did that? Is that something that changed over time for you about the morning skate?
It really has. With the amount of games you play and the sports science that's out there, talking about the energy you're going to use up in the morning, and what is the value you're getting back from it, You know, I think when you look at your club, you get them maybe in a little bit sooner in the afternoon, and you know you can prepare for your game. You start playing 3 games in 4 nights, 4 games in 6 nights. You take a mandatory day off, and then obviously you've got those games where you probably need to skate game morning. I know there's teams that don't even skate game morning even after a day off, and it's all because of, you know, what sports scientists are saying about the amount of energy you can expand or save by not going out.
What about, you know, I wonder, Lindy, how far you'd go with that? Like, if you're trusting the sports science, you've got a player that they're convinced it's good for them, but, I mean, is it part of the job to maybe convince them that, like you said, take it easy, don't go too far? Because I'd imagine, you know, trying to break a guy of a habit he's had since he was a kid might be hard to break. If you think it's in his best interest, though, you do want him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I think that's the part where, you know, you can make it optional, but you got to have optional with parameters. So I can break down, I'll just break down a morning skate for you. Usually a goalie coach goes out early. He goes out 15 minutes early with the goalie. He takes out 3 or 4 shooters with him. So now at 9:45 in the morning, you've got 4 players that have gone out. Let's just use the 9:30 skate. They've gone out at 15 minutes early, and they're shooting pucks. Now you come out as a coach, and at 9 o'clock, you're going to run your 20-minute optional. Now we're up to 35 minutes. And typically when that ends, the players don't get off the ice right away. So now we're looking at probably 40 minutes that some players can be on. So I think the give and take on that is, okay, you're going out, but you're going to be out there no longer than 15 minutes. You're going to be shooting pucks. You're going to do your thing or whatever you believe in. And I think a player's routine to them is really important too. So I think there is flexibility when it comes to, do we want them all out there? Do we want it optional? You know, a goaltender's routine is sometimes one of the ones that you've got to give the most. A goalie almost always likes to get out and have shots in the morning. So making it optional with parameters is probably the best thing or best way to go.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on the Western Hotline. Will it feel more real, the reunion, Lindy, you think, on Thursday than it has been, just because, you know, fans in the building, the start of the season being so foreign, nope, no pun intended there, that the first night being back at home, it might feel more real, the reunion, than it has been?
I believe so. I think, you know, we've put a lot of work into this, you know, the training camp. We put a lot of work into the games we played. And obviously that we didn't get the results. I feel in game one we could have had the results. I thought a couple incredible saves by their goaltender. You know, the early saves that kept us off the board were difference makers. But we're back in our building. We get the control. You know, we get to control what we need to control in our own building. We just talked about, you know, how we want to start out. But it is about, you know, bringing the energy, bringing the enthusiasm. And I think, you know, playing at home, you know, you play overseas, it doesn't really feel like the start. But we know now that we're in the thick of it.
Lindy, updates on some injuries. J.J. Paterka?
Yeah, we'll have more on him today. He's going to skate away from the team today, won't practice with us, and see how he responds. The initial look on him is that he's day-to-day. He should be back soon, and we don't rule out Thursday even as a possibility right now.
What did you think of the hit?
I watched it. It's probably a good hockey hit in my eyes. When I watch it, it's if you look at a couple hits in that game, even if you look at a hit in the second game where Clifton basically exploded Dawson Mercer, you know, there are hits in the game where shoulders down, head is down. It's one of those old fashioned hits where you get caught, you know, in a split second. If I slow it down, I hit the space bar, I go, maybe it's late. But when I broke it all down, it's probably a good hockey hit.
Is that also, like, speaking of things that kind of have changed over the years, because we remember, all remember the Brawl game and from the mid-2000s and whatnot, Tuck stepping right in, no instigator penalty there, like, is that just kind of, like, the perfect, appropriate response? Because there might be times, I would think, during the year where a moment like that happens and the team does take a penalty, but I'm guessing that's, for you, like, the appropriate response you want for a leader?
That is exactly what we want. I thought just jumping him right in is we'll kill off those emotional penalties. That's part of, you know, sticking up for a teammate, being there for a teammate. Tucker didn't know, was the hit clean, was the hit dirty?
Mm-hmm.
So stepping in right away was the response that I want out of this team. Pack mentality, and if it's dirty and we find it's dirty, I think you can always see later in the game it'll be addressed. And that's just going to be who we are.
How much juggling do you have to do with the other injuries as well? Abe Kubel, Zach Benson, any update on Zach Benson?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you look at game two, we ended up with a player off of almost three out of the four lines and had to do some serious juggling.
Mm-hmm.
Benson, again, is in this morning. He hasn't been on the ice. We're hoping that maybe today he can get on the ice. Don't really think it's going to be anything that's long term, but you know, you've mentioned Paterka. We, you know, off of one line, you took Benson off another line, and Kubel is going to be a fairly long period of time with his injury. So, don't really want to put guys on IR. So the mix and match this morning isn't exactly what we wanted, which is going to affect our special teams again, but it's the stuff you have to deal with this time of year when you're dealing with a couple guys that, you know, it could be day-to-day, it could be longer.
How about, real quick, an early thought on Benson just as a player? I mean, it's not all that normal for a guy this young to make a team without being some, I don't know, giant physical specimen or also some crazy score. He just seems to have a hockey IQ about him. That seems to be the general review. How have you enjoyed watching him play and getting to know him?
I love the way this kid plays. You know, and I said earlier, I think somebody asked me about him, then I said, didn't know a lot about him, but getting to know him, and you like his play. His hockey IQ is excellent. His passion for the game, incredible. Where he gets to and who can fend off, you know, just size-wise alone, puts him in a pretty special category.
Yeah.
In terms of other bright spots, by the way, for the weekend, so the team loses James Reimer to waivers, a veteran goalie that is now on his way to Anaheim, and Levi starts on Saturday. His performance and just kind of his style, Lindy, like, he seems to be a very aggressive type of goalie, just how far out he can come, but obviously Saturday would have been a good start to the year, I would think, for you.
Yeah, I thought a really good start in a situation where we gave them in game two some really good looks, and game one didn't give them near the looks. And I thought he was really aggressive when he needed to be. Like, his reads on some of the plays were just excellent. And you know, I look at it, with 10 minutes or whatever, 12 minutes left, we wasted a goalie performance that probably could have stole us a point in the game, and that's probably the disappointing part. But I thought great effort by Levi in that game two for us.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy, thanks. We'll let you go, and we'll chat again down the line.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Lindy.
Lindy Ruff back at KeyBank Center for the Sabres home opener against the Los Angeles Kings. That'll be Thursday.
Levi really was amazing on Saturday. Two periods, and he was the only reason that they weren't getting blown out. Expected goals in that game, so he allowed three. The expected goals against were 4.76, so almost two goals
saved.
Better than he should have, versus Luukkonen, who was like kind of around average on Saturday, like about what it was expected.
Saving, just for anyone that, I mean, I loosely know the stats, but saving almost two full goals in a game is a big deal.
Yes.
Two full expected goals.
Absolutely.
So Sabres home Thursday against the Kings.
Kind of like the Kings for a home opener opponent.
Sure.
Fine? Feel like it's always the Penguins or the Senators.
Should we do... Right.
It's always the Penguins or the Senators.
Should we do the thing we do with the Bills? Let's remember some Kings.
Okay, we could do that.
Luke Robitaille.
Ziggy Palfy.
Robin Regier.
Robin Regier.
Jonathan Quick. I mean, these are Doughty's out.
Rob Blake.
They don't have Doughty.
Yeah, he's out.
Long time.
Yeah, it was a knee injury, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see the injury too? It was like,
looked bad.
His legs got like crunched against the board. It was gross.
Rick Martin.
Okay, we're going way back. Listen, to Josh, over here going recent with Regeer, and then like 70s with Rick Martin.
Wayne Gretzky. These are not exactly like
that's a deep hole.
Obscure Kings.
Am I right in Marcel Dion, right? Who I think is the all-time leading scorer for the Kings. Did I hear somewhere he lives in Buffalo?
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. The Kings' all-time leading scorer lives in Buffalo. I thought I had heard that. I don't remember why he lives in Buffalo. Just
yeah, he used to have a collectible shop in the mall, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Luke Robitaille.
That's
another good one.
The Kings have a revamped logo this season. Do you guys see it?
Yeah, it's a lot like the old logo.
Yeah, they kind of like, I don't want to say they took the two and put them together, but that's what they said when they were putting it all out, but yeah.
Okay.
It looks like the old one, and it looks nice.
This is far better than what they've had. The home base is what I've always looked at it as. It looks like a home base that they've had,
and now they have
with just a big LA. It's like the lamest logo
that's
ever.
That's bad. Now they're back
to the shape with the letters in it.
This is called a chevron with the
chevron.
Yeah, chevron.
Oh yeah, because it's like the Chevy logo.
Yeah, it's the Manchester United has a chevron. Like that shape is. I think that shape is called a chevron.
It's called a chevron. Okay. I guess actually it is still the like home base looking shape in the middle, but they've just like there's a rectangle in the middle.
Yeah, it's a chevron / home base.
This is a massive upgrade for them, I would say, over what they've had.
It's basically just the old logo with the new color scheme. Like it's the it's the purple and gold logo with the black and silver color scheme.
Fine. They probably should keep those colors. They don't need to go purple, back to purple and gold.
Yeah, now,
I would stop short of that retro.
I'm looking at the definition of chevron now. It's like a badge with stripes. So maybe it's a more of a generic term.
Anyway. Dustin Brown, by the way, another
Dustin Brown.
Team has two Stanley Cups.
Alec Martinez.
Game-winning cup goal, right?
Yes.
This isn't. Kings maybe aren't good for this. Who are like 90s? Who are the famous Kings of the Yari Curry, right? Just all of Gretzky's friends.
Is it just because they're on the
McSorley.
West Coast?
That's part of it. They play at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, when's the next time I'm going to see a Kings game?
Have they ever really been exciting since Gretzky was there?
They won the cup, and they were not that exciting.
No, they were exactly. They were like, they won the cup because Jonathan Quick had a historic playoff run.
He was awesome.
Like, when's the last time the LA Kings were fun? Anybody?
I don't know.
Ever?
Anze Kopitar. That's the one we should have pulled.
But even him, like, I respect how good he is. Is he fun? He's not really fun. He's
Quentin
like,
Byfield
I'm going to shut you down and
Tyler
get 70 points.
Toffoli.
There you go. That's a good one.
Jarrett Stoll.
Yep.
Who else? Anyway, the Kings. Welcome in, Kings. Jordan Nolan.
They also have chrome helmets, by the way.
Jordan Nolan.
That's a good one. That's where they got him from.
I think they
wear chrome helmets full time now.
Oof. That's a question.
I think I remember that
That's
being
gonna
a
be
thing.
A questionable decision. Bernie
You're
Nichols.
Not into the chrome helmets?
Marty tweets in Bernie Nichols. No, we've got a bad helmet situation going on in the NHL. There's some bad helmets out there. The Canes wearing red, bad.
Why is that bad?
They look like a college team.
Yeah, these are I think they're wearing these full time.
Okay.
The chrome helmets. The silver? I don't know.
Cal Peterson, King.
Howard in with Cal Peterson.
Howard picks the Bills when we return. Boy, let me tell you, he is not in a good mood. I saw him on the Leading the Charge show last night. He was yelling about Curtis Samuel.
I mean, Sunday must have been one of the worst sports days for him ever.
Oh, yeah, the Mets.
Right? The Mets tied it in the top of the ninth.
And you thought, like, hey, it's another magical game.
Right. I was watching it with a Mets fan who was, like, delirious. And then, you know, heartbreak.
Right. Howard picks the Bills. 803-0550, your phone number, if you want to chime in on the Bills, on the Sabres, who are home for Thursday. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
No, I mean, Mac's a good football player, right? And what's important for us is he plays a dual role for us, offense and special teams. And, you know, we have to manage that for him and making sure that we handle that appropriately each game so we get the best version of back, number one. And then number two is, you know, we have other players with ability out there as well. Don't need to go into detail on who those guys are, but it doesn't all need to fall on Mac, nor does it all need to fall on just one person.
Sean McDermott on dual threat Mac Hollins.
I think I would like him to get into details on who those other guys are. Go ahead.
Howard's already grown. Tell me. Hey, good morning. It's Tuesday. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to drive down the 190 and see that new bridge.
I went past it last night.
I went past it the other day.
It is sharp. Yeah, it looks really good. I went down to Channel 7, take the 190, and I looked up, and I wanted to pull over on the side of the road so I didn't slow traffic down. I like it. It looks really good.
Yeah. The work over there on that park, Ralph C. Wilson Park, that's what it'll be called going forward, right? Like,
I think so, right?
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's...
It's got a massive grant from his foundation.
Huge, huge project.
Yeah, that's terrific. They were doing work on the side of the road last night, too. I don't know if that's in conjunction with the bridge they put in, but yeah, I went under it, and I thought, this looks pretty good.
Very good.
Looks nice at night, too.
Howard's here. He's got a Mets shirt and
just a regular blue hoodie.
Yeah, I was going to pull the Mets hoodie out. A Mets hoodie.
I was going to pull the Mets hoodie out. This thing was laying around, so okay. I just put it on.
It's like a...
It's an honorary Mets.
It looks like Mets hoodie.
It is Mets blue.
That's right.
It looks like a Mets hoodie where logo came off in the dryer. Like, I don't say that in a bad way. Just it really is Mets blue. It's so Mets blue.
I'm wearing my Mets boxers. Don't worry about it.
Sunday was the worst sports day for you in how long?
Wasn't a good day. Things did not end well.
Yeah.
So
it seemed like they were about to end well.
It was a little roller coastery. Well. Yeah. So when they tied it up with in the ninth home run tie up at six.
Right.
Figured they're going to do this again.
When we could make it bad both games is that both teams were like a play or two away from actually winning the game.
Right. Oh, we're not going to win. Oh, my God, we're going to win. Oh, crap, we didn't win. It was one of those days. So, yeah, we're on to the Jets.
Yeah?
What else can I say?
On to the Jets. All right, we're going to get you picking the Bills. You want to give us a thought on the Texans game?
Have you guys been talking about receiver group at all the last couple of days? I'm just curious. That's not something you like to talk about.
No, I really...
There's no history of that issue with you.
I don't often bring up that group.
No. Joe, you should start something where you get like a nickel every time he brings up wide receiver for discussion.
I have a jar in here. I mean, we would be able to. bankrupt.
Whose fault is it? I have to keep bringing it up.
It's not your fault.
Give me control of the draft board. We'll be talking about defensive tackles in 5 seconds because I'll fill my receiver room.
First round pick wide receiver in the next draft.
Oh my God. They're going to trade up.
Yeah,
I'm
going to tell you to trade up.
Yeah, my thought is you should be worried about this. I mean, I was listening to the whole. Well, I didn't like the trade of Diggs. I wasn't surprised they walked away from Gabe Davis, but the overhaul of the receiver room, and I hear the whole thing about don't worry, you don't need a number one, you don't need a stud, everybody's going to eat. Okay, I'm open for anything. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to see. And after the last two games, I'm telling you, it ain't working. And you look at some of the receivers here and go, the biggest thing for me is you're the opposing defensive coordinator. You're playing the Bills. You're sitting there looking over the tape. You're watching all this stuff. You're drawing up your game plan. Who scares you on the Bills offense? Not named Josh Allen. Does any coordinator sitting there during the week going, oh, my God, how are we going to stop fill in the blank guy? I love Shakir. Don't get me wrong, but if Khalil Shakir misses a game and it paralyzes the Bills' passing offense, that is a condemnation of the Bills' passing offense.
Yep.
It's gone from high octane to...
Well, the Chiefs last night, they're down Rice and Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
And they brought Juju Smith-Schuster in, and he went off for 130.
Doesn't matter. That's right. And honestly, you look at it, and again, I mean, Mac Hollins has been in... This is his seventh year in the NFL. He has one season where he caught more than 18 passes in a season. One.
He's about to have two.
Keon Coleman's a rookie. I don't know how much you're going to ask for him. Shakir is a nice receiver developing into a good weapon. But he's not going to turn into a stud overnight. MVS, I don't even know why he's on the roster. And then you have Curtis Samuel. And to me, I thought that was a really good signing. Do you know how many yards receiving Curtis Samuel has this season, guys?
Seven.
Close, 48.
Okay.
He's averaging 9 yards receiving a game.
Yeah.
What are we doing? They're throwing the ball to him at or behind the line of scrimmage. It's going nowhere. He's got 9 catches for 48 yards in 5 games. What are they doing to the Knox has disappeared completely. Kincaid is on pace for 20 fewer catches and 100 fewer yards than last season when we thought, oh my God, look at this rookie. So where's the dangerous weapon? It's James Cook. And I like Cook. But there's just nothing in the passing game that makes you look at it and go, wow, this is a guy you got to worry about.
James Cook, by the way, how many catches in the last 2 weeks?
Three.
Well, he had two in the first half the other day, and yeah. I think none in the second half.
I mean, they don't use him enough in the pass game for him to be... You don't even want that in the first place, right? Like, there have been offenses in the past that Carolina, San Francisco, their passing offense is like run through Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. There are running backs like that. Cook is fine. He's good in the pass game. He is not someone you build your pass game around.
No. Yeah, the options in the pass game, and I mean, Josh had nine completions. Nine
completions. Four for 18. Should never happen. To receivers.
That's unbelievably horrendous to have 18 targets and four catches. And yeah. So I'm not here to tell you the sky has fallen, but I can. It's a little lower than it was before the Baltimore game.
Well, I think one of the big questions is, did they miss or did they make a bad bet? Because I don't believe for a second, and I said this yesterday, that they thought they were going to be great
mm-hmm.
at the position, or this is the window into their new plan. I didn't believe that for a second. I thought they're going to try to get through.
Yeah.
The question is, do they feel like right now they made a bad bet and they're not going to get through?
It depends what your definition of get through is. I think they're still going to make the playoffs. I think they can do that. They should. I think they'll still win the division, but that might be by default because who else is good enough to win the division? Monday's game is a big game, by the way. They really need to beat the Jets on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what we're used to? No, this is not a team like what we're. This is their reset year, and I think their reset year is let's just make the playoffs and maybe go on a little run. I think the other part of the discussion is the whole thing about, you know, don't worry about it. Josh Allen will make everybody look better. Well, I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to do with this group of wide receivers, quite honestly.
And one of the tough conversations is they're getting him hit.
Well, he's run for his life too much.
Right now, every team is ratcheting up blitzes and pressure, and that's not about to stop until they have somebody that can take that off.
Yeah, how many times, I didn't track it the last two games, but it feels like quite often, he is flushed. He is throwing on the run. He's trying to make plays when he is being forced out of the pocket. And while we know Josh can do that, it's not something you'd like to see on a fairly regular basis.
Right. Well, after this trip around, you know, unicorns and candy canes here, everything's great. Let's have you pick the Bills. Because it sounds like you're going to go, you know, like 12-5.
Not exactly.
Maybe not.
Not exactly.
A tradition unlike any other.
When they throw the ball to Curtis Samuel, there must be a memo that said you can only throw to him at or behind the line of scrimmage. Why is he here?
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
I just think it's a really bad matchup with their quarterback and their skill position against a depleted defense. So I don't like this. I don't feel good about this matchup. I will take Houston to win the game.
Back to pass. Looking deep down the middle on a post pattern. He's got Collins! Caught at the 15 and in for the touchdown. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick is long enough and it is good. At the gun, Kaimi Fairbairn wins it for the Houston Texans with a 59-yard game-winning field goal.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay. Well, hey, you were right. You didn't think they'd beat Houston and they didn't. Would you have run the ball once on the final possession?
You know, I actually, as much as we talked about this last night, I am very much aggressive. I'm glad you're going for the win and all that. Honestly, I sat there the other day when they got the ball at the 3 and thought, just run it and make Houston burn their 3 timeouts. Because I really didn't think they're going to get into field goal range on that drive. Not with the way the passing game looked. Mm-hmm. So the key was, don't leave them with the ability to stop the clock. Because I'm pretty sure they're going to get the ball back. And their kicker's deadly from 50 plus.
Yep.
So I would have done everything to burn the timeouts.
Okay, time to pick the Bills. Bills, Jets, Monday Night Football. First thing I'd like you to pick, will Devontae Adams be in this stadium?
That's a good question. Not active, but actually in. So will the Jets have traded for Devontae Adams before the game?
Or the Bills.
Yeah, I don't think the Bills are trading for Devontae Adams. Yeah, I would. I'll say the Jets end up trading for Devontae Adams this week. I watched their game Sunday morning, and that's right, Joe. Yikes. That's a really good way to describe.
They've
the Jets
got bigger
offense.
Problems than the Bills because their quarterback is just not good enough.
That's right.
He's not good enough.
He is off target. I don't know. Maybe it's a whole miscommunication, but he does not look good. He's missing open receivers. He looks really frustrated in their offense. Their running game, Breece Hall, has done nothing.
No, he's been bad.
Season.
He's been really
no
bad.
Idea why. And Rodgers is getting hit, and he looks old. Their offense the last two games has been putrid. I will take the Bills to win this game.
Score?
9-6.
Okay.
I love it. Bet the under.
What is the over-under for this game?
41.5.
People finally get off of Tyler Bass's case for a week as he delivers a game-winning kick?
That would be nice.
No, actually, he's going 3-for-6 on field goals to win the game.
All right, so Bills win.
Yeah.
They're 4-2. Home Titans.
You know, this should be a game the Bills should win. I'm not nervous about the Titans, even though the last 2 weeks, they should easily beat Tennessee. I'll take a win.
At Seattle.
Yeah, so this is one of those games where you look at it and go, well, Seattle did just lose at home to the Giants, and I did not see that coming. But, you know, this just in, because of the last 2 weeks, this pick the Bills is going to be a little bit on the dark side. So I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Ooh, Seahawks. So 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
Home Miami.
And he said he's announced he's going to the dark side.
He is.
Sorry. I think they'll beat the Dolphins. I'm obviously very curious to see what happens with Tua. In theory, right, that would be his first or second game back if he's back for week 8.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I just think the Dolphins are a train wreck.
They're missing half their team around Tua.
Yeah, and Achan just got left with a concussion the other day. I mean, they've got some major issues over there.
6-3 at Indianapolis. You want to talk about a defense the Bills should be able to beat.
Yeah.
It's Indianapolis. Their defense is terrible.
But who's playing quarterback for the Colts?
Let's say Flacco.
I'll take the Colts.
Wow. Do we think Flacco will be the quarterback, though?
Shouldn't he be?
They're not benching Richardson,
well,
right?
That's true. They have to figure out, do they legitimately think they can actually make the playoffs and do anything with Joe Flacco? Because if not, I get it. You sell tickets and your fans want wins, but then you're not developing Anthony Richardson, and he clearly is the guy they invested in. So I would honestly get Richardson in the game.
Colts, you said?
Yeah, I'll take the Colts.
Colts.
Okay. I warned you.
Chiefs at Bills.
Chiefs.
Uh-oh.
Here comes a series of punches.
This is about to be bad.
Chiefs at Bills. Niners at Bills.
Cover your nether region. Niners.
Bills at Rams.
Can I just tell you, I did this when I was angry. So I should have factored that in.
Yeah.
I will say the Bills will end. By the way, that would be the first 3-game losing streak in the history of Josh Allen's Bills career, but if that happens.
Wow.
He's never lost four out of five? Yeah, he's never lost 3 straight starts. Wow. Never. Bills at Rams.
He might this week.
Yeah, it's entirely. I mean, he does not do well against the Jets defense, which, by the way, is still really good. Their biggest problem Sunday morning was they couldn't stop Justin Jefferson, and they kept taking penalties. Yeah. Even Sauce Gardner. Gardner got flagged like a gazillion times trying to cover Justin Jefferson.
Well, if he can't cover Justin Jefferson, he's not going to be able to cover.
That's right. Right. They're not. They don't Tyrell have to Shavers. Face Justin Jefferson in this game.
Bills.
I'll take the.
Did you pick the Rams?
I'll take the Bills to beat the Rams.
Bills over Rams. Okay. Bills Lions.
I'll take the Lions.
Patriots at Bills for the first of their 2 matchups in the final 3 weeks of the season.
They're averaging 12 points a game and 119 passing yards.
Yeah,
the Patriots.
I've got a stat for you. Kirk Cousins threw more passing yards on Thursday than the Patriots have thrown for all season.
Right. I mean, Drake May will be quarterbacking well before then, I would assume, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The Bills will beat New England.
Do the Patriots have a receiver that's like got more yards than the Bills receiver?
I don't think so.
Offense?
Hunter Henry might.
Okay.
Yeah, they might have a tight end. I'll look. It's possible.
Do they even have a receiver who has over 100 yards?
I'm trying to think it might be. DeMario Douglas would be the guy for them that would have it.
The leading receiver in New England has 180 yards. It is Hunter Henry.
Wow.
Okay.
The leading wide receiver is DeMario Douglas with 153 yards.
What's Shakir got? 230? No, he's over 200, right?
He's
got
to have more
over
than
3?
That.
I can't remember.
All right, so win over the Patriots, home Jets.
They'll beat the Jets.
And then at Patriots.
And they'll beat the Patriots.
What's that record?
10-7.
10-7.
I mean, that's winning the division.
Yeah. Hold on, though. 10-7 and 6-0 in the division is what you picked.
The AFC stinks. This
4-7 outside the division.
So here's the problem. See, they played Arizona, Miami, and Jacksonville. Looked really good. And then they stepped up. We all know Miami's a fraud, right? There's no reason to put Miami in with any of the legit teams in the league. No. And I know Arizona looks good, and they just beat San Francisco. But they stepped up in competition against Baltimore and Houston, and what happened? They look bad in the two games against the best teams on their schedule so far. That makes me worried. They'll beat the teams that they should beat, but when you go up in competition, you got to prove it to me, guys. You got to start winning these games. And they did not look good in the last two. At least the defense played well in the second half on Sunday.
Yes. I think the defense is still good.
With what they're going through, look, I mean, again, no Ed Oliver, no Taron Johnson, right? Austin Johnson, no Rapp.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Bishop got beat for a big play, but otherwise they forced two turnovers.
Didn't hurt that Collins left the game injured. That helped.
That helped quite a bit.
But I thought the defense played well. The defense gave the Bills a chance to win the game on Sunday.
Nico Collins is out week to week.
I saw with that hammy. Yeah, that's bad. That's big for them.
It's a big loss.
Absolutely.
For them.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right,
fellas.
What else you see? Anything last night? See any of the Saints and Chiefs?
I can't. I will not subject myself to watching Kansas City win football games. It's too much.
It was the best they've looked all year, I think.
Great. Yeah, I see they're 5-0 now, and it doesn't matter who's hurt. I cannot physically handle watching the Chiefs win and hear a national broadcast send flowers their way. It's just too much.
Who's a better team, the Bills or the Bengals?
Boy, the Bengals' defense is trash. I think the Bills are a better team.
Bengals lost to Baltimore. They lost to Kansas City, both in toss-up
games.
Kansas
City game, right.
But
I'll tell you this. Who would
win a matchup?
Yeah, if that were on the schedule, would you
pick? Bengals, who would you pick?
I would actually pick the Bills.
Okay.
Cincinnati literally can't stop people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But look at this. Now, the Bills Bills played the Ravens defense, and the Bills looked bad. Joe Burrow played that same Ravens defense 7 days after the Bills did, and he threw for 392 yards and 5 touchdowns. What does Joe Burrow have that the Bills don't? Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's the economy, stupid. Sorry, I went old school for that one.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Hey, always fun to pick the Bills, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for making me do this.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
Love you, too. Good to see you.
Nice.
Go Mets.
Amen, bro. Just get through this round. I don't think they have a prayer in the NLCS, but just get through this round and beat Philly.
All right. Go Mets.
Yep.
Quick note from Ben Volin in the Boston Globe as something to follow this week. He wrote that the Bills and Josh Allen found a loophole in the concussion rules to get him back in the game one play after he slammed his head. Allen took a smelling salt, but somehow did not receive a full concussion evaluation. That's something Ben Volin wrote in the Boston Globe today. He did not source that information. I don't know where he got that information, but maybe a question asked of McDermott more specifically about that comes tomorrow.
Because if that's true, that is just... Remember when the league investigated how the Dolphins handled Tua not getting taken out of the game?
And Allen, he's got a chest and ankle.
Yeah.
And he's not in protocol. Why would he be? Because he wasn't diagnosed with one.
Right. Even though he was kind of out.
It certainly looked
like on camera he was out.
It certainly looked like he was, whatever. We'll see what happens, if anything comes of it. But that's what Ben Volin wrote today in the Boston Globe. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.